Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A national contest. It's Unicorn Cash Time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. And right now,
text the word LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 between now and 7 o'clock. Text the word LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, to 72881. Text LUCKY, L-U-C-K, to 72881. And you have until 7 o'clock to do it to win $1,000 Unicorn Cash Code on 92.9. Next Cash Word comes your way tomorrow morning with Golic and Wingo at 7 a.m.
It's 6 p.m. in Memphis, and it's time for The 6 on 92.9 FM ESPN with The Jeff Calkins Show.
Gary Parrish, host of Gary Parrish Show from 4 to 6 every single day. He is the National College Basketball columnist for CBS Sports. .com, multiple Emmy-winning television personality, rising star in the field of meteorology, and he joins me now. GP, how are you?
I'm great. You okay?
Good. Do you still think, is it absolutely clear to you that Ja Morant should go ahead of RJ, and is it absolutely clear to you that if the Grizzlies pick third, it should be RJ if Ja Morant goes ahead of, if Ja Morant's gone?
See, this is going to be perfect. I would take Ja Morant ahead of R.J. Barrett, but it's not clear to me that that's what you have to do. I could certainly make the argument that it's R.J. Barrett. You know, R.J. Barrett...
He's been pounded on, I guess, is my point. R.J. Barrett becomes like a... People have crushed him, like dismissed him. Like, do you believe he will... Will he be an all-star?
Yeah, I could certainly see him being an all-star. He's been crushed because he was teammates with Zion Williamson and he wasn't Zion Williamson. For the same reasons that Khloe Kardashian gets crushed because she's not Kim Kardashian. You know, if you saw Khloe Kardashian just standing, you know, at a restaurant, you'd be like, my God, that's a really attractive woman. But you put her right next to her sisters, and she's like the least attractive of the sisters.
Also crushed because he took too many shots relative to Zion, but maybe that's Coach K rather than RJ, right? Because people wondered about his basketball sense, I think.
Yeah, well, the guy just scored more points in a season than any freshman in ACC history. You know, he was a first-team All-American, according to most. The idea that he was a disappointment is just crazy. He was just not Zion Williamson, and so he's judged based on that. And there is the perception, and perhaps it's a reality, that all of his shots came at the expense of more opportunities for Zion Williamson, which is ultimately what cost Duke a national championship. And that might be true. I think there is some truth in that. But RJ Barrett has been considered the best player in the world his age for several years now. It only changed once this last college basketball season started, but it didn't change drastically. It changed because of Zion, really not because of anything RJ Barrett did. In fact, if I told you before the season started RJ Barrett was going to average exactly what he ended up averaging, you would have said, that sounds like National Player of the Year to me. That sounds like the number one pick in the draft to me. Only the emergence of Zion Williamson really changed much of the opinion about R.J. Barrett. Oh, and then, let's say Ja Morant goes 2. Yes, I do think R.J. Barrett should go 3. But if you wanted to make a case for DeAndre Hunter, I could listen to that. But if I'm selecting, regardless of teams, I am right now going Zion Williamson 1, Ja Morant 2, R.J. Barrett 3, and then we're debating.
Okay. Two questions about Memphis basketball recruiting. How do you think Penny parses through, because you can't get all of these guys, right? And some are more certain than others. I'm sure Penny has a firmer grasp that some are more certain than others. How do you go about parsing through who to take, when to take them, what will be the ripples if you take one person as opposed to another person, et cetera? How do you, it's funny, I actually asked, I didn't mean a good answer. I interviewed Penny for a totally different reason yesterday. That's the reason he talked to me. He didn't want to, was not to talk about recruiting. But I asked him about this. Here's what Penny said.
All right, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you one question. How are you going to sort out the recruiting stuff? Like, are you just whoever commits first? Like, what's the...
No, it's not.
It's not that. I mean, you have a grand plan. You have a, I mean, you got it. It's a puzzle.
It is a puzzle. It's a puzzle. So I wouldn't say whoever commits right. first because it's a grand puzzle.
Are you feeling good about it?
I'm feeling really good about it.
Okay. You're getting a lot of certainly good stuff, Bob.
All right. So that was it. That's all I got. It's a puzzle. How do you get through the puzzle?
Well, I think by puzzle, what he means is like, it appears that the key to getting Precious Achiuwa is Lester Quinones. Like, it appears those two are connected more than any other two. And if you are to believe what has been reported, the best advantage you got to landing Precious Achiuwa is also landing Lester Quinones. So to the extent that it would be a puzzle, I would interpret that to mean the worst thing we could do is take somebody now that prevents us from getting Lester Quinones, because that is then what prevents us from getting Precious Achiuwa. So you've got to figure out if that's really a thing. Perhaps in real life, there is nothing. There is nobody you could take right now that's going to prevent you from getting Lester Quinones. Perhaps you're going to get that no matter what. But if you believe that taking, Boogie Ellis is going to cost you Lester Quinones, and that's going to then cost you Precious Achiuwa, and you also believe that if you don't take Boogie Ellis, you're going to get Lester Quinones and get Precious Achiuwa, then I think if Boogie Ellis wants to come right now, you have to hold that off.
What if you believe, though, that you can take Quinones, in which case you get Achiuwa, but if you take Boogie, you lose your chance at getting R.J. Hampton. If you take all of those, you lose your chance at getting R.J. Hampton, which is now at a 50% chance anyway. Do you still take Boogie?
Here's the puzzle. This is exactly what he's talking about, and I agree with you. I'm certain he has a better grasp on this than anybody else. What I would do, I think, is make it clear to everybody that it's May 7th, and I'm not waiting anymore on anybody, or at the very least, I'm not holding anybody back. Whoever wants to come, this is what I think I would do. I think I would say, whoever wants to come, come on. And if you're scared of competition, then we understand, go somewhere else. But we're not I would not tell Boogie Ellis he can't come because I think it'll cost me something that I'm not even sure I'm going to get otherwise. Like, if you start holding off on certain guys that you can get right now because you think it'll hinder you with R.J. Hampton, and then R.J. Hampton waits another 6 weeks before he commits, and you still got big boys in there like John Calipari and Bill Self, guys who have spent their careers closing deals, flipping guys at the last minute, however they might get that done, that just seems risky to me. So I'm going to trust Penny. Like, he has been a master at this since he got the job at Memphis. He's got more information than obviously either one of us or anybody else has. I'm going to trust him that he knows what he's doing and he's going to do it the right way. But on a very surface level, I think if I were taking four, I'd be willing to just take four of the six that are ready to come. Whenever they want to come off the table, come on, because there is really no bad combination. If you promise me four of the six players they're involved with, if you promise me they're going to get four of them, any four, that's going to be in the conversation for number one recruiting class in America, if not quite undeniably the number one recruiting class in America.
The other thing you hear is, are you concerned at all that Tyler might leave? But even beyond that, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but Kentucky's involved with Matthew Morrell or whatever. You hear Tennessee's involved with Matthew Morrell, and that there might be, by going out and getting all these players from other parts of the country, Penny might be weakening his grip on some of the Memphis players, either people who might leave or, in particular, people who he might want down the future, like Matthew Morrell, who could be a good player, very good player here, that he's hurting his chances with local or relationships.
I would never not take great players because I was scared it might cost me with other good or great players. I mean, that is not the way Mike Krzyzewski operates. It's not the way John Calipari operates. I go get the best players I can get. I mean, I like Tyler Harris. I think he could, if he's a four-year player at Memphis, I think he's going to be a very productive and very good four-year player at Memphis. But he's also a 5'8 guard who just shot 37% from the field. Like, there is no scenario under which I'm turning down better prospects, regardless of where they're from, because I'm concerned about how it might impact my relationship with Tyler Harris or my relationship with Alex Lomax or my relationship with any local prospects to come. you know, this was the approach John Calipari had, which was, I'm going to go get the best players in the country that I can get. If they happen to be from Memphis, tremendous. But if not, you know, then that's fine too. And if Penny can really close deals around this country with prospects like R.J. Hampton, Precious Achiuwa, and Boogie Ellis, then I have literally no regard for my current roster makeup or anybody on it. There is no scenario where I turn down a prospect of that caliber because I'm worried that it might push Tyler Harris out the door, or that it might cost me, you know, with prospects going forward, because there's only one scenario where it pushes Tyler Harris out the door, and that would be if Tyler Harris is not playing. And if Tyler Harris is not playing, well, the only reason he's not playing is because you've got somebody better than him anyway. So, you know, it is what it is.
All right. And yesterday they wrapped up their closing arguments of the trial that people don't care that much about because we know everybody's cheating, although they care in Arizona. What happened yesterday in New York?
So, well, it was just closing arguments and the government making the case that Christian Dawkins did commit a felony, a federal crime, that he was bribing college basketball coaches, and the defense trying to make the argument that what Christian Dawkins did is violate a whole bunch of NCAA rules, but he did not actually commit a federal crime. He was not bribing college basketball coaches. And so this is a unique situation because, as you point out, it's one where the trial is immensely important to the sport of college basketball, everybody hanging on every word. The actual verdict doesn't matter. I mean, who cares if Christian Dawkins is going to do another 9 months in federal prison, or Merle Code's going to do, you know, a year in like federal prison? Like, those are two people who nobody outside of the sport even knew who they were until the day they got arrested. The sport of college basketball and the fans of the sport don't care at all about, you know, the guilty or not guilty verdict that'll be delivered today, tomorrow, or some point in the coming days. It was all about the testimony, the wiretaps, the videos that were played in the court. And so, for all intents and purposes, the news relevance of that case is now over, and now we get to see, wait and see, what the NCAA is going to do with the evidence that was presented, because they did change their rules in recent years to allow them to take stuff that came out in federal court and use it to build cases against individuals and against programs. And that's obviously scary stuff for Kansas, for Arizona, for Louisville, and several other programs around the country.
But wasn't the stuff that was said essentially, it was just testimony that so-and-so basically, right? I mean, it was no more than what Will Wade was faced with. Like, testimony, you could say, yeah, no, that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, that's going to be the play. Let's just focus strictly on Sean Miller at Arizona. His play going forward is going to be, I don't care what Book Richardson said on a wiretap. I don't care what Christian Dawkins said on a wiretap. I don't care what Christian Dawkins testified to in federal court. Those guys are well-documented liars. I didn't do what they said I did. And then, boom, wait and just stand there firm. And then it's the NCAA's job to produce evidence that proves you wrong, or at the very least, the NCAA is going to have to reach the conclusion that we believe Book Richardson and Christian Dawkins over you. And the NCAA can do that. Keep in mind, this is not a court of law. You know, just because Sean Miller wasn't charged with a crime doesn't mean he can't be charged with level one violations. Like, at the very least, the best case scenario for Sean Miller right now, and this is why I'm surprised Arizona seems comfortable to keeping him, is that he's going to face a suspension, you know, for a coach control charge that the NCAA says you are responsible for what happens on your watch in your program. Even if you did not know, well, then you should have known and you're responsible for it. So he's going to be suspended perhaps up to a year. And so Arizona's not going to have him for a period of time. I think that's undeniable no matter what. Because this happened on his watch, they can suspend him, and, you know, level one violations are already documented with Arizona's program. So that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is going to be the NCAA actually does charge Sean Miller, him personally, with a level one violation. And if they do that, then I think Arizona will be able to trigger the clause in his contract that will allow them to fire him for cause. But I guess I'd bottom line it this way. The past few weeks have been a terrible look for Sean Miller. No reasonable person who isn't an Arizona fan believes that he wasn't cheating to get, at the very least, DeAndre Ayton and Raleigh Hawkins. But per the terms of his contract, he might actually be able to survive this because Arizona seems unwilling at this point to fire him and pay what is roughly a $10 million buyout. They would like, I think they would be willing to fire him for cause, but they don't, they, at least their lawyers don't seem to think they have cause right now.
Coming up next on The Six.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still pick the Warriors. I think they have the best talent and they have the home court.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I used to be like you, stressing about auto repairs and not knowing what was really needed. Now I go to Madison Automotive. Instead of what's best for their pocket, they do what's best for you. Madison Automotive asks about your car goals, so you get the right repairs for your situation. Locally owned and operated, nationwide warranty. Visit MadisonAutomotive.com for specials and to book an appointment. Oh, ask about their million-mile warranty, too. Don't want to worry? Be like me. Visit MadisonAutomotive.com today.
If you're like me, you want the bottom line. No fluff, no frills. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark's Bensdorf Realtors. I've been selling real estate a long time, and I found that sellers don't want tall tales or promises. They want results. I always tell people to talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers to find out what they think about your home and the price. But more importantly, what are they going to do for you? And make sure and let me be one of them. Find out how my highly successful strategic marketing program with the Shellbucks option can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. Will I buy your home? No. But with my help in preparation, pre-marketing, presentation, and proper pricing, someone will. And often my listings sell quickly at good prices. So if you or someone you know is thinking of selling, find out why people often say, when you want the job done, call Shell Done. That's Shell Done Rosengarten at MemphisRelocate.com or 682-1868. Remember, 682-1868 or MemphisRelocate.com. Do it now.
Now, back to The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show.
On to the NBA. Really fascinating stuff sort of now unfolding. And I give you credit. You said the Warriors looked vulnerable, and they certainly this is fun. This is a lot of fun. They have the looks that they had at the end was fun. I guess, where are you right now on the series? Well, one thing that's interesting is how many more three-pointers the Rockets have than the Warriors. All four games, 26 more generally. It makes me think, I mean, the score of the series is 448 to 447. I still like the Warriors. Where are you?
Yeah, I mean, I still pick the Warriors. I think they have the best talent and they have the home court. And I would pick the Warriors. I'm sort of the same place I've been for the last few weeks where if I have to pick one team, I'm picking the Warriors. But I think they are vulnerable enough that I would no longer pick them against the field. I mean, they may well lose to Houston, and so you know maybe they put them at 60% to win this series, but then that means there's 40% chance that they don't, and then I think they'll get past Denver or Portland, but I think they're going to face a tough opponent, whoever it is, in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so, like, I think the Warriors are still the favorite, but they're a wounded favorite, and the deeper you go into the playoffs, I just think the mileage is going to keep piling up on them. They're playing basically a 6.5 man rotation. And I think it's sort of odd to me how little attention, like Klay Thompson not being that good, is
really bad. And it's a contract. I mean, it's interesting with Klay. Like, so if they lose Durant and then offer Klay a max, like, is that, I don't know. Are they just going to be a good team going forward?
They could be. Maybe you say like the core of what this team is like the Splash Brothers, the idea of having these two guys in the backcourt.
Right.
You know, who you know, that is what has made always from the beginning sort of made them unique historically, is having that level of distant, long distance shooting in your backcourt. And so maybe, like, you know, that's what brought them in and that's what will take them out. I think there's a good chance that happens. Durant leaves and they, whether it's a max or close to it, they re-sign Klay and they are the Splash Brothers team, you know, through the end of whatever this is. I think that's likely what will happen. But I don't know. If I were an outside team, I guess at some point, like, either you do it or you're not getting a good player. But I wouldn't feel great about giving Klay Thompson a max. I mean, the Warriors are playing, Durant and Curry are playing 40-something minutes every night. And this is in like year four or five or whatever it is of deep playoff runs.
And then you've got the Bucks going up 3-1 on the Celtics. Obviously, Danny Ainge is widely hailed as a genius. But whatever has happened, that is not like some of this is Gordon Hayward got hurt, right? I mean, we don't know.
Right.
But Kyrie seems like a weird guy. I mean, it doesn't all seem to have come. It certainly does not seem to have come together. If you're Boston, well, let's say they lose the next game. What are you trying to accomplish if you're Danny Ainge? And probably Kyrie's walking, right?
That's a good question. Like, are you still just all in on right now? You're trying to trade everything you got for Anthony Davis and trying to keep Kyrie Irving? Like, I don't know if I would feel great about, like, giving up, you know, maxing Kyrie out and giving up all my assets for Anthony Davis and having an Anthony Davis-Kyrie Irving team. That seems like kind of fragile to me in lots of ways, both, like, mentally and physically. Or is it worth them, like, being patient with it and zacking the other way and saying, Jason Tatum's really young and Jaylen Brown's really young and, you know, smart and
Rozier. We got the Grizzlies
like
draft pick in 2 years.
And they got the Grizzlies draft pick and they got all these draft picks. And is it worth them saying, like, we can have a window that's not right now and reverting back to that? I would seriously consider that.
The other way that people go is, of course, as Grizzlies fans are trying to find a home for Mike Conley, that is one that they look to as a possible home for Mike Conley if Kyrie leaves. Yes?
I mean, it's sort of the same. I mean, I think it's a little bit trickier. I'd have to look at the – I don't think
– the money, right.
Even if Kyrie leaves, that doesn't mean, like, you got $20 million you can pull somebody into. It's more – that's not the way it works. And so there's enough money on their books. I think that would be complicated. I'd have to look and see what you could – you probably have to – Marcus Smart would have to probably be coming back in a deal like that. And so I don't know how much you want Marcus Smart. You'd probably have to take him, and then that decreases other value you're going to get. But I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, I do think when we talk about post-free agency, like who has a hole at point guard when the dust settles, Boston is obviously a team that could be part of that list.
I assume you think the Bucks are the favorites to come out of the East, but partly because they're up 3-1. I mean, do you think they're the favorites to come out of the East because they're the best team in the East, or because they look like the most they look like the most likely team to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals? Certainly more so than you would say either Toronto or Philadelphia.
I'm a little bit lower on Toronto than I was a week ago. Obviously, they were in a 2-2 series. They may lose that series. I'm surprised. We talk about, like, you know, Golden State sort of shrinking down in terms of their rotation. I'm surprised with Toronto that Fred VanVleet's a zero, that Lowry and Gasol and basically everyone but Kawhi Leonard has been sort of shaky offensively. And so I think Toronto, Philly is going to beat each other up, and Milwaukee is going to have home court, and they're going to be rested and ready. And so I think it's hard not to pick Milwaukee to win whoever against whoever they play. But I think it's, you know, it's like a 55-45 thing to me. Like, I don't think Milwaukee is a typical number one overall seed.
Right. Chris, thank you very much. We will talk to you tomorrow. Appreciate it.
Coming up next on The Six.
James Wiseman stayed at number two. He had been number two. He stayed at number two. So I guess at least he didn't drop.
That's at 24-7.
That's at 24-7. He at least did not drop. So that James Wiseman is at number two.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Right now is the perfect time
to open the door to a brand new Chevy.
And the best time to see for yourself.
Why more and more?
And more people are switching to Chevy.
Visit your local Chevy dealer today
and experience firsthand the eye-catching new designs,
refined interiors,
state-of-the-art technology,
and unbeatable deals
that have more and more people switching to Chevy every day.
Find new roads at Bob Johnston Chevrolet in Covington, Tennessee.
I want to tell you about someone I met the other day, Will Chase, the president and CEO of Triumph Bank. Will is a lifelong Memphian who's been in banking for 41 years. Back in 2006, he was part of a group that decided to start a new bank, a bank that was a vital part of the community, a bank that strives to work with its customers to solve their challenges, that does everything within its power to say yes. That bank now has nearly $800 million in assets. Triumph Bank is powerful enough and technologically savvy enough to do everything the giant national banks do, but it's small enough and personal enough that Will Chase still gives his customers his cell phone number and that any employee can walk into his office and ask a question at any time. Heck, if you lose your debit card, you don't have to wait a week to get a new one sent to you in the mail. You can walk into any Triumph Bank office and they'll print you off a new one on the spot. So go see Will Chase and the rest of his team at Triumph Bank. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Now, back to The Six with the Jason and John Show.
We do have a lot of recruiting information and a lot of recruiting developments to get to. As you guys know, this is the recruiting hour right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, powered by Radio.com and the Mercedes-Benz 2019 A-Class. I think I didn't have to do that there, but...
I mean, it wasn't breaking news.
Yeah, that was
necessarily, but that's okay. I mean, you still.
I like the way you laid it out to them.
We might not have breaking news today, so
added value for them.
Exactly.
For the can we get that to Brad? Can we just clip that up and get to Brad?
I'll work on it.
Thank you. Okay. Well, there was some breaking news yesterday because 247 released their final rankings for the class of 2019. So that does constitute breaking news.
I think Rivals did their top 10 too.
Rivals did their top 10.
Those recruiting services racing to get out these new rankings.
That's right. That's right. And it's always like a battle. Who do you go with? Who do you trust?
They do them on the same day.
I think both services are really good. I actually trust both of them. I trust Eric Bossy in that. I really only know Eric over there, so I trust Eric. And I know and I know Evan and John.
We kind of half it down the middle with Evan and with Eric, like, for the most part, in terms of them bringing them both on.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think they're both
plugged in.
Really good. I think they both do a good job, and they both work at it. That's the other thing. It's like, you know, they're not just throwing, stuff out there.
That's it. I got some problems with some of this, John.
Well, there are some problems. Before we get to the problem, let's just highlight what happened. James Wiseman stayed at number two. He had been number two. He stayed at number two. So I guess at least he didn't drop.
That's at 24/7.
That's at 24/7. He at least did not drop. So that James Wiseman is at number two. Let's go through the signees here. DJ Jeffries moved up one spot to number 75.
That's ridiculous that he's there.
I don't even clap that he's down that low.
They bumped him lower after.
I actually like the little faint clap because it's 75. You know, I mean, that's not great. That's not great. I mean,
he should be higher.
I think there's probably a range in there between 25 at ESPN?
Yeah, like 24, 23, 25. Like,
you know, I mean, again,
his composite's 47.
I don't see every player in the country. So that's like I can't sit here and say where he should be. Does 75 feel low? It feels low. But he did move up one spot. Malcolm Dandridge dropped to number 144. That's down 11 spots. From I guess that would have been 133. So Malcolm Dandridge drops 11 spots. Damian Baugh has actually made a big leap.
Good.
Damian Baugh jumps 29 spots. To number 93, he's now in the top 100. So that is the Memphis signee update so far. Okay, on to some other guys. Lester Quiñones, he jumped 31 spots to number 49 overall. He's a top 50 prospect.
Evan Daniels told us he had a big jump coming.
Yeah.
For Lester.
Let's see here. Boogie Ellis. Boogie Ellis dropped four spots.
What?
From 28 to 32. Yeah, so he's... He dropped four spots after decommitting from or getting out of his letter of intent with Duke.
And all he did was win the Ball of His Life 3-point contest. How you drop him four spots for that?
He's the best shooter in the country. How do you drop the best shooter in the country four spots?
Is he the best? Is he the best shooter?
What he said. No, he's. Are you gonna call Boogie a liar?
I'm not gonna call him a liar, but that's strong there.
Yeah. So
again, he's a point guard.
So Boogie Ellis dropped four spots, and then R.J. Hampton jumped one spot. Jumped one spot.
I don't know if you want to clap that up. We'll see.
Okay. He's still a Tiger target.
We got more to uncover on that one.
We got
more news to get to.
He is still a Tiger target.
I told you about this.
Yeah. Trenton Watford is, I believe he jumped to number 19.
Good for him.
So that was a big-time jump. Precious Achiuwa is number 14. So I think generally, I think he's basically in the same spot. Basically in the same spot as he was in the prior update. So anyway, that is the ranking. Listen, these are subjective, whatever. That's not where our problem lies. I think that's fair to say.
Well, they got DJ too low. I got a problem with that.
Okay. Everything else, basically, you're fine with?
Sure.
I like the ball jumped up. They made up for it with Ball.
Yeah. I don't know if they made up for it, but I like the ball jumped up.
Okay. Here's where the issue is.
Let's go. What is it?
When you click on basically like the top 15, top 20 guys,
tell them.
They all have a pro comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Edwards is the number one player in the country. His pro comparison is James Harden. This is according to 247. By the way, I don't see it.
I told you when he was at Briarcrest, I didn't see Harden.
Now, again, I think Evan is the best. Like, I think Evan is the, when it comes to these recruiting centers, I think he is the best guy doing it. But I don't see Harden here. I don't see Harden. Number three, Cole Anthony. They compare him to Donovan Mitchell. I can see some Donovan Mitchell there with Cole.
He's dynamic. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Compare Cole to a lot of people.
James Wiseman, the unicorn.
Okay, what we got here? What's
going on?
We're talking about a 7-footer. We're talking about a guy who runs the floor like a gazelle, a guy who can finish, a guy who's got a second bounce. He can jump off the floor back to back to back to back.
Yep.
Good shot blocker. You know, long. We're talking about one of the most intriguing physical players in the entire class.
Extremely improved defensively over the last year.
A guy who, according to ESPN, is currently the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft.
Yep.
Who is his pro comparison?
Oh, it better be someone.
Can I get a drum roll, ladies and gentlemen? Let's just kind of go through some of the guys we've heard in the past for him. We've heard David Robinson.
Yep.
We've heard Chris Bosh.
Yep.
Who else have we heard? Maybe little Anthony Davis. Have we heard Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
Young Dwight Howard. I think we've heard some of that.
Yeah.
The 247 pro comparison for James Wiseman.
Let's hear it.
You got us pumped up.
John Henson.
Who the dirty did that? Who did that trash?
John Henson.
Let me look up John Henson's career stuff.
Now,
what? How you going to have Anthony Edwards and Harden and Cole Anthony as Donovan Mitchell and James Wiseman, the number one pick in the 2020 draft, is John Henson?
They actually have a pro comparison here from Malcolm Dandridge, and it's East High School custodian. That is their pro comparison for Malcolm Dandridge.
This is awful.
Very disrespectful. Incredibly disrespectful.
Did Evan do that?
Okay, so Evan, my understanding is Evan.
He's a friend of the show.
Evan did not make the comparison to John Henson. That is all I can tell you. I know he's not claiming that mess. That is all I can tell you. Okay.
John Henson.
Dude, John Henson is an
idiot. I mean, you're literally over here throwing out James Harden.
His second season in the league, he averaged 11-5. Well, excuse me, 11-7. It was 5 defensive
rebounds. He had a decent start to his career.
Yeah,
but
second year in the 1.7 blocks. And I have to imagine, John, that this is based off some sort of defensive comparison, because James Wiseman is a skilled big.
Yes.
We used to talk about him as that's what he was, and that's it. And a guy that needed to improve on the defensive end, this seems like a total disservice to his offensive game.
It's a complete hatchet job, and he should sue.
John Henson famously chased back to the locker room by Matt Barnes. Isn't that right? Didn't Matt Barnes like just run down the hallway when he got ejected from the game, chasing after him?
Something along those lines.
Yeah,
there was some kind of altercation.
They both got ejected, and Matt Barnes chased him down the hallway.
Yeah, you know, John Henson is barely hanging on. Yep. I mean, he is barely hanging
on. 5-5 this year.
He's with the Cavs now, which means he's on his way out of the league. He was the number 14 pick in the 2012 NBA draft. He was a 2-time ACC Defensive Player of the Year. But if I told you that James Wiseman is going to have an NBA career that would rival John Henson, you would say, damn, why am I this excited about it then? Right? Like, I mean, that's just like a big-ass bucket of cold water. It's like the, you know.
I don't get that. I don't get it at all. John Henson's never been that guy. You've said, okay, offensive game, but he's sort of – now I take it as a compliment from the defensive side. I told you.
Right.
What Wiseman's done now to show folks that he can sort of be a dominator on that end too, it's amazing for him. It's great for him. It's totally changed his outlook, and I think it's the thing that's sort of cemented him right now as the number one guy. It's not just affecting it on the offensive end, but the defensive end too. So, in some ways, I see it as a compliment to his defensive game and how far he's come on that end. It's a shot. It's a slap in the face on the other side, though.
Right.
You'd get a guy that would you know, make a comparable to somebody that's, you know, could impact both ends. John Henson is more on one end.
Yeah, I mean, I think James, you know, is he Chris Bosh offensively? No. He's not Chris Bosh offensively. Now,
yeah, we're not going that far.
Does he have an offensive skill set, though? Absolutely. Absolutely. He can hit the pull-up jumper. He can do that. He can hit an elbow jumper. You know, he's got a nice little hook shot that he's sort of put on display recently in the last month or so. You know, so he, on top of, you know, just being able to, with the putback dunks and the dunks and all that. So he has a skill set. It's not like he's playing with one hand tied behind his back,
right,
you know, on that end. So, you know, I do think he's a tough comparison. I do think, you know, because I remember we used to do this last summer.
Like, Henson's a career 57% free throw shooter. Does that sound like a skilled big to you?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think James is somewhere. I mean, okay. James is a guy who is, again, right now projected as the number one player in the 2020 NBA draft, like the number one pick.
Right.
I don't think John Henson was ever projected as the number one pick in any draft, you know. So there's a reason for that. It's like you said. I can appreciate it on one end of the floor.
Yeah,
you know, because
yeah,
John Henson impacted the
if
game.
If that's what they're trying to say, and I think it is again, but you're totally not thinking about, not including at all, and looking silly on judging his offensive game.
Now I do think it's a
that's part of the package with him. It's both. That's what makes him so intriguing.
I do think it's a tough comparison to make because you're either going to sound ridiculous or you're going to sound like you're not giving him enough credit. I feel like because there's no. He's so unique a prospect, you know, like, you know, you don't see bigs who are that big, you know, that tall do what he does.
I'm curious, do they just do the top 10 guys?
Do you
have a Precious Achiuwa there?
Yeah, Precious Achiuwa's comparison is Quincy Acey. RJ Hampton's pro comparison is Spencer Dinwiddie. Now, Spencer Dinwiddie is a good player, but
Spencer Dinwiddie? Who did these?
It just feels very modest. It goes from, like, James Harden to Spencer Dinwiddie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, dude, Anthony Edwards' approach to the game isn't as – it's not methodical like James Harden. His shot is not like James Harden in the sense – dude gets – he's more like a – you know, he gets elevation on his shot. It's a completely different game. I think what he's comparing is how prolific he thinks he can be offensively,
right.
Numbers-wise.
Right.
But they play – I mean, I'm not sure I like that comparison.
Right.
Anyway, these are, like you said, there's, in fairness to them, these are tough to do.
But they are because, you're either going to sound like an idiot because you're comparing somebody to a Hall of Famer. Exactly.
Right.
Or you're going to sound like you don't believe in the kid. You don't think the kid is that great. Like, that's, so I think that's kind of a, it's
but
just,
does that,
it's,
come
it's
on, does that not
it,
stick out like a
no,
sore
it's,
thumb?
It's like
you say
James
Harden and
Donovan Mitchell, and in between it's John Henson.
Give me a break.
Well, that doesn't even add up.
Okay.
Shouldn't the guy who's ranked ahead of the Donovan Mitchell comparison have a better comparison than John Henson? I don't know. I mean,
think so.
In that what you're tracking, you're projecting these guys based on pro careers. I mean, isn't that what you're ranking?
We're offended. We'll get over it.
We're triggered. Maybe one day we'll forgive Evan. One day. But that day is not today.
Well,
if he changes the pro comparison to like Paul George or Dwight Howard or Chris Bosh or David Robinson, we'll forgive him.
Can we talk about something else Evan Daniels did yesterday?
Sure.
He crystal balled RJ to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
I saw that.
So RJ right now, last I looked on crystal balls over 24/7, 43% Memphis, 43% Kansas. That Kansas part's come up quite a bit. That Memphis part's gone down. There wasn't just Evan Daniels. There were, three or four guys, I think, that crystal balled, maybe even more than that yesterday, going RJ to Kansas. At the same time, John, you tell me if I'm getting ahead of myself, it feels like there is a sort of trend, too, mm-hmm. with Boogie Ellis, people doing the same thing, crystal balling that to Memphis. So it feels like, you know, behind the scenes, like we were talking about here to start the show, you know, sort of things are happening. People are making, you know, people are making their guesses here. And you tell me, was that kind of not the way that I thought this thing, or at least when I laid it out to you? And I know you'd always said RJ's still an option. But when we laid it out, okay, who are you closest to? RJ was at the back, right? Because he told you.
Yep.
It's a lot. They got a lot. They had work to do.
Yep.
What do you think?
I think all of that is fair. I think everything you just said is very fair. I think we outlined this even back to last week. You know, I think Friday it was, we came on here and said, RJ and Boogie, can they play together? Absolutely. But RJ, Boogie, and Lester can't play together.
Mm-hmm.
And
even with,
based on what we know is going to happen on Friday. Like, Lester's in the fold, and we've counted Lester in the fold. They've just invested too much time in Lester at this point to cut any kind of ties. He's a top 50 player who does something for you. So that's just the reality. He's basically, you know, again, you count him in the fold. Boogie doesn't – do you think Boogie really acts out of Duke with no idea what he wants to do?
I was talking about that with Jeffrey Wright yesterday.
You know, like, do you really think he's like, oh, man, I guess I'm just wide open. What am I going to do?
There would be more calls. But there seems to be a plan.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think we laid this out last week. You're talking about if it all goes ideally,
mm-hmm.
Boogie, Lester, Precious, Rajon.
That's the four right there, man.
I mean, I think, you know.
And like I was telling you, you're not telling RJ we're taking Boogie over you. Heck, you can still say, and we heard Charlie Matlock say it yesterday on air, they're looking at 4 or 5 guys. And you could say to yourself or to RJ, if you wanted to still look
right,
that way,
right,
that you haven't turned him away,
yep,
hey, we got a fifth scholarship. It's Jaden. We'll open it up. Why don't you come on right now? That's where I'm at.
Oh, sure.
And that's what I felt like. John, I just felt like with those other four,
yep,
you were the closest on them. The work that you had done had pulled you in with those guys to a point where those four worth doing it. And, John, I'm telling you right now, of course you would love to have R.J. Hampton on this squad next year.
Absolutely.
Who wouldn't?
No
doubt. Who wouldn't? A potential third lottery guy, Bennett? Third? Can you imagine having three lottery guys on? But here's what you got that's a little bit different from Precious, if you should bring him in. Is you've got other options should you not get RJ.
Right.
You've got other backcourt options now. Should you go ahead and land Lester like we think, go ahead and land Boogie like we think, you've got Damian, we both said, Tyler and Alo both taking the next step up. You've got other options there. For me, that's why I always said those four, again, that you're closest on, they hit your needs. They hit your needs right now. And you've already got those needs filled without RJ.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Would love to have him.
Yep.
What I'm telling you is you don't need him, y'all.
Right.
You don't need. Would love to have him. Hey, come on, commit today, RJ.
Right.
If I'm Memphis, but you don't need him with everything. They've hit their. I'll put it this way. They've hit their other needs with these four. If they should get these four, it'd be quite the haul.
It would be. It would be the number one class in America still. And I think people have to keep.
I've
in
always
mind.
Thought that was the more reasonable four.
Yeah, and I think it's very reasonable.
We know Penny told Zagoria four.
I think it's very reasonable. I think the idea would be look, Boogie plays point. You know, Lester, we'll see what happens. There's going to be a battle.
I would put
in the preseason.
Tyler and Lester in a battle for the shooting guard. I would. I wrote this out on Friday. I had the whole depth chart.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Keep going with me. Where you got?
Rajon plays the three.
With DJ. Go get it. We either one of y'all.
Yeah.
Go start.
Precious as your four.
Mm-hmm.
And James is your five. And then, you know, whoever doesn't win the battle between the two and the three, you know, you're first off the bench is some combination of Rajon is probably coming. He's coming here to start. I mean, let's just call that what it is. So you're talking about whoever doesn't win the battle at the two between Lester and Tyler, that they're the first ones off the bench with DJ, most likely. And that's a hell of a first seven right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we'll see what happens. You know, if Ball is your eighth guy or whatever the case may be, you know, you're talking about a very talented.
See, I was talking about this with Jeffrey Wright yesterday. We were talking specifically about DJ. What do we know about DJ? When he's playing against other good guys, it's when the best comes out of him.
Yeah.
If you're going now we're over at the Lori Walton Bennett, and Penny's trying to figure out the three, right? Just think about this situation. He's got Rajon Tucker there, 6'5".
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
You got DJ who's come here and looking, expecting to get big minutes. This
For sure.
is a guy who at 6'7", 215, 218, can do a lot of things and is versatile. You're going to go talk to those two guys and you're going to say, all right, guys, know both of you are talented. Rajon, you're trying to get to the NBA. We know you got 1 year. You're a graduate transfer. DJ, you think you're that caliber too, mm-hmm. right? What's it going to do to the when you pit those two dogs
It'll be great in practice.
Exactly.
Great in practice.
And it's gonna, not just great in practice. It's going to make everybody better.
Yeah.
And that's going to be happening at every just about every position.
Exactly.
You'll have guys pushing other guys, and that's going to make you better as a team. And look, you leave it to the players to figure out. Like you said, you say a lot of things to get the guys here. You get them signed up. This is the way it rolls in college basketball. Once you get in here, a lot of times best approach, let them figure it out.
Yep.
And if I'm Penny Hardaway, with all that talent, it's probably what you're doing.
Yep. So it's again, this is going to be a big week. I think there will be great clarity.
Yeah.
Certainly in the second half of the week.
Well, we know part of that's Lester.
Yep, and then
Friday we all.
You know, you never know. I think with so little time between now and the 15th, this is all expedited. It's all going to be expedited. You know, Lester said he thinks that after he announces, Precious is going to set a date. So this is going to be a very big week and a half.
Okay. So for the folks that are hitting us up and saying, "Where's the ink? Where's the ink? Where's the ink?"
The ink is coming.
You're telling us it's coming, aren't you?
The ink is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Just relax a little bit. Enjoy the process, man. Soak it in. It's fun. You know, you haven't gotten to do this in a long time.
Bro, I don't know that you've ever done it like
exactly.
this.
Exactly. Everybody's like, I can't wait. Yes, you can. You've waited your entire life for the Tigers to be doing something like this.
Well put.
So you can wait another week. So anyway, big time stuff for sure over there for Penny Hardaway. We'll come back. Clay Trapp is going to join us. We will talk to him about the XFL, about the NBA,
and a little bit of Game of Thrones at the end. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Mother's Day is Sunday, May 12th, and Massage Envy is here to help. Whether she needs massage therapy, a facial, or skin care, we have it all. 4 Memphis locations for convenience. It's simple and will take the stress away. Seriously, what mom wouldn't love a gift card from Massage Envy? Stop in any location in Collierville, Cordova, Germantown, or Midtown. They are ready to help you with a gift card that will make your mom feel spectacular. Call 854-8255 now or go to massageenvy.com. Relax. It's Massage Envy.
We started Allegiant with a simple goal, so the one person who couldn't travel could. 80 million passengers later, that goal remains the same. Save when you book flights, rental cars, and hotels together only at Allegiant.com. Together, we fly.
Book a nonstop flight from Memphis to Phoenix Mesa one way for as low as $80. Must be purchased by May 29, 2019 for travel between June 10, 2019 and August 12, 2019. Seats and dates are limited. Restrictions apply. See Allegiant.com for details.
Joe Stewart Body Shop is the best body shop in town. They've got the original location at 2916 Summer Avenue, and they've also got Joe Stewart Collision of Collierville, family-owned and operated since 1969. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Car Repair Shop for the last 5 years running. They're certified by Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Acura, and Honda, but they can work on any make or model. Take your car to Joe Stewart Body Shop, because taking your car anywhere else would be an accident.
Now, back to The Six with the Jason and John Show. It's Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage, Clay's radio show. Listen to it weekdays from 6 till 9 a.m. on ESPN 790 AM. Hear him now with Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So were you really in and out of London and back home in 3 days?
Well, we flew out on Wednesday night. So landed in London Thursday morning. Spent Thursday, Friday, Saturday all day in London, and then flew back at 3 o'clock on Sunday. So I flew in, we left on Wednesday night from Nashville, got back on Sunday night.
Did it feel like you were rushed the whole time? I mean, I've never been to England, and the Raiders and the Bears are playing there in London, and we're both fans of those teams, and we're thinking about maybe making that trip. It sounds like it's possible to do in 3 days. I didn't think it was.
Well, one, it helps. Nashville has a nonstop direct. Mm-hmm. So you can hop on a flight in Nashville and get off in Heathrow, and then you can return and walk right off the airplane, go through customs in Nashville. So I don't think I would have tried to do it if there wasn't a nonstop direct, because the challenge is, you know, anytime it seems like you have a connecting flight, odds of getting stuck there, missing a day, like if we had, you know, been held up for a day, I probably would have just said, screw it, we're canceling the whole trip. But we had an awesome time. And I would obviously rather go over longer, but we went over for a week for the Titans game against the Chargers last year. In October, and we also went over a couple of years ago for a vacation in the summer and went to London and to Paris with the kids and everybody else. So I love it. So I'm a big guy. I enjoy traveling. It's probably my favorite thing to do. We had a phenomenal time over there.
What brought you over there this time? Just you wanted to go, you know, just spend some time in London? Was there something that you wanted to see specifically?
I turned 40 in April, so we went with another couple, and the other guy had also just turned 40. So it was kind of a 40th birthday celebration getaway weekend.
XFL, Clay, do you like the plan? Does it look more viable to you? Does this look like something that can sustain? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant plan, and I do think it can sustain. I think the fact that the games on Saturday are going to be on ABC and Fox is huge. It'll be easy to find. I think having FS1 and ESPN covering the majority of the other games is going to be massive. I think there's a demand for football not to be over in February. Now, in my personal opinion, I think the best time to start a football league would be right around May. After the NCAA tournament ends, instead of trying to compete with college basketball with March Madness. But there is a belief that a spring football league makes a lot of sense. And I think with the partnerships with Fox and ESPN, that there's a lot of chance this XFL could do well. And again, it only needs to produce, you know, 6-8% of the audience that the NFL does in order for this to be a pretty good success.
Yeah. It feels like they already have an advantage over what the AAF did, because now, you at least know
exactly where the games are going to be. You know, that was always a challenge. I mean, there were lots of challenges for the AAF, but, you know, one of them was you didn't know where a game was going to be on a given week. You didn't know how to get to it. I mean, Bleacher Report Live, how many people have that? I think just having, whether or not they're getting paid from these partners or not, just the fact that people know exactly where to find them, I think, will be a huge leg up for the XFL in this, don't you?
Oh, I agree. Remember, the only one of the games for the AAF aired on major broadcast television,
mm-hmm.
and it was the game on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually rated really well, and that was without much promotional punch behind it. I think that Fox and ESPN will get behind the XFL. I think there's a desire for spring football to work, and I think it will. So I'm excited to see how it goes.
There were a lot of problems, as John just laid out, with the AAF, but not having ESPN. You know, Clay, I couldn't go find the standings on ESPN. I'd have to go, have to go to the site. I mean, not having that mainstream and ESPN obviously being partnered up, obviously it had interest here. XFL's coming up. But that seemed like a death blow, too, from now that, you know, looking back on hindsight being 2020. I mean, that killed you in the mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, I think if this thing is successful, Vince McMahon, if he's smart, will try to get ESPN and Fox to buy a share of the league, because then they're even more invested in promoting the league and making sure they talk about it. And look, I think the question will be how many guys that are known can you put in the league that people have a rooting interest on? And I think if you get a Johnny Manziel type players, guys that people know, and I think the big advantage they have too is they've announced that they're going to recruit players with no age restrictions. So in theory, you could have a really talented freshman or sophomore finish his season in November and go sign with the XFL and start playing pro football in February. Hmm. And I can see that being attractive to a decent number of guys out there who were tired of going to college, who want to make $100,000 to play football and try to further their career and see whether or not the NFL might be interested in them in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, talking to Clay Travis. He joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. The Rockets evened it up last night. Was interesting there, especially late. Warriors had a chance to send it into overtime. Two wide open looks. They did not convert. You sort of heard it all year long. There's just a mutiny of some sort. Kevin Durant sort of thinking about going elsewhere, you know, beefing with Draymond. Do you think we are witnessing the end of this particular dynasty in the NBA? Are we witnessing the end of the Warriors right now?
I still think the Warriors will win the series. And 84% of the time, I think it is, or 83% of the time, whoever wins game five when it's tied up 2-2 wins the series. So I think the Warriors will win game five, and I think they'll find a way to win the series as well. But I think certainly you can say this is probably the end of the Warriors dynasty, because I think Kevin Durant's going to leave at the end of this year. The odds markets would suggest that he's most likely to go to the Knicks. And if that happens, it'll obviously cut the Warriors back down to size and put them back in the mix with a lot of other teams. Having said that, they could win four titles in 5 years, and the only one they lost be one that they lost in seven games to the Cavaliers. And so I think 4-5 would be an incredible way to finish, three straight for Durant. But I put up a poll question. I was curious what the response was, and about 67% of people were rooting for the Houston Rockets in this series over the Golden State Warriors, and I think that's not necessarily because the Rockets are some incredibly lovable team. I think it has to do with the fact that many people believe the Rockets are, the Warriors are just kind of tired of them. And so there's a desire for something new.
If you were the Knicks, I understand why you'd want KD, why you'd want Durant. Would you, if you were a Knicks fan, Clay, want Kyrie to go with him? I have my doubts on that. I'm starting to wonder on Kyrie in terms of making others better. You watch them with the Celtics right now. They're a mess. They're better. Typically, they look better, a lot better with him off the floor last year. Would you take Kyrie and KD, or do you like a better pairing?
I'm not sure who else you could get. I mean, I guess you could get Jimmy Butler.
Kemba.
I don't think you could persuade Kawhi to come, and that's a little bit more confusing with the similarities in position. In theory, yeah, it's hard to beat Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. The reality, though, I think is what you just hit on. Other than what he was able to do with LeBron, and coming back from a 3-1 series deficit, Kyrie Irving has been more sizzle than he has been steak. And so I would be a little bit nervous about that concept, honestly, of how well he would fit in with Kevin Durant. Having said that, if you're a Knicks fan, I mean, there's a possibility you could have, if you win the lottery a week from today, you could end up with Zion Williamson, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving.
The idea,
which
of that.
Would put the Knicks right at the top of the title contenders, I think you'd have to say. So I don't think you can, look a gift horse in the mouth here and worry about how well it's going to pan out. At a minimum, you'd be in the playoffs and you'd be contending for the Eastern Conference.
No doubt. 30 years ago today, Jordan hit the shot over Cray Elo. Do you remember where you were, Clay Travis? Were you a basketball fan at that point? And more importantly, were you pro-Jordan? Were you anti-Jordan? Because you had to be one or the other. You had to be against him or with him.
I think, like most people, I was a huge Jordan guy. I don't remember where I was for the Elo shot. But I remember that's kind of when I became a basketball fan, was watching Jordan try to get past the Pistons.
Yep.
So that's kind of the age. And
yep.
It's funny because my second grader is around that age now, where you start to really kind of pay attention at, 7, 8, 9 years old and start to remember games. So I do not remember that game in particular, but I certainly remember that would have been 89. That was the last year the Pistons won the title, right?
They got it. The Pistons, I know the Bulls ran into them that year, lost 4-2. Then they ran into them again, lost 4-3. So I want to tell you.
Yeah, and then they swept them in 90 when they won the title,
there
right?
There you go, 91.
Yep. So I watched, the first really, I remember watching the Pistons loss, but I remember really kind of getting in on the NBA at the age of, kind of 10 or 11. And I remember the 1990 series being one of the first that I really kind of aggressively followed. And, yeah, I was a Jordan guy.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show tomorrow morning beginning at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Gary Parrish.
Brad doesn't really care if Memphis is going to have a super talented roster. He's just a wreck thinking about the cash code.
You could win the unicorn cash. Crazy good players, crazy amounts of cash for you. Just by listening at the top of every hour, weekdays, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. It's at the Laurelwood Shopping Center, one of the best clothing stores in the nation. It's where I shop. It's where you should shop. And here to tell you why is Rob Joyner from James Davis.
Gary, we made you two perfect fit suits for your TV appearances, so you know how they fit. We take over 13 measurements to achieve that perfect custom fit suit or sport coat. With hundreds of fabrics to choose from, and the suits start at $6.95. It's unbelievable. If you want to experience the custom fit like Penny Hardaway or your favorite talk show host, we can suit you up. And don't forget, we still have two Paul Bettinelli suits, regularly $5.95. They are two for $7.95. Six colors and patterns to choose from. A classic and trim fit from 36 short to 52 long.
So you heard him. If you need a custom fit suit, same kind I've got, you know where to go. It's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center. That's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center, on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face. And there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Around here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
At Advance Financial, we love the word any. Free money orders, any number, any amount, anytime. Western Union, send and receive any amount, anywhere, anytime. Check cashing, any amount, anytime. Free bill pay, including all local utilities, electric, water, cable, phone, anytime. Prepaid debit card, load money, anytime. And, oh yeah, get a loan, anytime. Visit one of our 24/7 locations and get the cash and anything else you need today. Advance Financial, welcome.
Are you catching all your favorite sports games at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica this season? Visit the Sportsbook Lounge at Sam's Town and enjoy the full sports betting experience. There's plenty of seats, plenty of screens, and plenty of good company. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 888-777-9696.
'Cause it just feels right. Sam's Town Casino.
Anyone can get lung cancer. At 38, Gina led a healthy life. She didn't smoke. She ran and played tennis regularly. She was a nurse and a loving wife and mother. Gina developed a cough that just wouldn't go away. She nor her doctors ever suspected stage 4 lung cancer. In 2015, her prognosis was grim. Only about 2% of people with this diagnosis live past 5 years. Gina was placed on a new medication called Target Therapy. It's a pill that helped melt the cancer away. This has extended Gina's life. Lung cancer is the number one killer of men and women and is the least funded. It kills more than colorectal, breast, and prostate cancers combined. Lung cancer among women is growing, and we need to learn why. And research is the way. There is now a 19% 5-year survival rate compared to the 2% in 2015. Our hope is lung cancer will become a chronic illness, not a death sentence. Read more of Gina's story by going to linksforlungsmemphis.com and help support cancer research.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.